If we just pray that you'd know God's goodness today, and you've picked a great Sunday to be here with us. Here we go. Let's talk rugby. In the Herald, in 2nd of October 2015, during the Rugby World Cup, there was an article that came out titled Rugby World Cup, the Offload Revolution. So as many of you will know who this is, Sonny Bill Williams. Sonny Bill came onto the scene in 2010. He cross-coded from rugby league to rugby union, which is a very hard path for any man or any woman to take. And one of the things about Sonny Bill was his athleticism and his skill set with the ball. But as you can see there, he's passing a ball to Nihi Milner-Scudder. And one of his skills was the offload. And in the article, it reads this. Hey, Timmy. It reads this. It's pushing the truth to say Sonny Bill Williams sparked an offload revolution when he came to rugby in 2010. But there's little doubt he's been hugely influential in the proliferation of players at this tournament who continually back themselves to flip the ball out of contact one-handed. Graham Henry said this, who was a great All Black coach. He said, Sonny has an amazing ability to offload the ball in the tackle. That's a real asset. I don't think I've ever seen any rugby player with that sort of skill in that situation before. So Sonny Bill was a big talking point coming in out of rugby league into rugby union. And he had these amazing skills. But whether he was the one who created the offload, many would say he wasn't. Whether or not, whatever the truth is, the offload in the game of rugby changed the game. It changed the game. There was a spark around the world and it saw everyone adding it to their repertoire. But not everyone liked the offload. So just soon after Sonny came to the rugby scene, Peter de Villiers, the then South African coach, says this. He's doing everything wrong. What rugby principles require of you in the game? Backhand passes shouldn't be the norm. It has become the norm. Now everyone wants to do that kind of nonsense. He said that in 2011, but in 2015, it's too late because everyone's doing it. Why am I talking rugby? There's good reason for that, because with Jesus dying, everything is starting to change. Everything. The curtain's been torn from top to bottom. The barrier that holds us back between knowing God personally, that's been removed. The curtain's torn. Even the earth has shaken in the scripture that Ruby read out. It has an effect on creation. The earth is moved. But I want to focus particularly this morning on the holy people raised from the tombs. Now, I've read this story a few times, and it's always been a bit of a head scratcher for me. All of a sudden, all these dead people are now being raised to life physically. They're waiting, and then when Jesus returns, they start going into the holy city. This is a remarkable story. A whole bunch of holy people, even before Jesus is resurrected, even before he's risen from the dead, a whole bunch of people are tasting resurrection life. Can you come to terms with that? Do you understand? Can anyone understand that? I've got an imagination for that. My only imagination that I can think of dead people rising is from Michael Jackson's Thriller. Now, I wouldn't show the video clip in here because we've got lots of little minds and people here, but is it kind of like that? Dun, dun, chicka, chicka, chicka. Kind of. Is it like that? Probably not. But that's kind of the only metric that I can understand, all these people that were once dead now being raised to life. Even before Jesus, the one who was about to be raised to life, even before that, these guys come to life. And it says they appeared only when Jesus was resurrected. So that means Friday afternoon, they've come to life. They're hanging around for a few days before Jesus appears. What do a whole bunch of dead people do hanging around? Do they talk rugby? Probably not. Do they play cards? What do dead people do? When you're raised to life, what do? I can just imagine as they appear in the holy city, that little boy Jimmy calls his dad and says, hey, dad, someone's coming to dinner. Oh, who's that, Jimmy? Oh, mum's coming. Nana's coming for dinner. Yeah, Nana's been dead. Yeah, she's been dead for 30 years. Yep. Yes. Yep. No, she looks pretty good. No. Dad, how about I bet you 50 silver coins that she is coming to dinner? Can you imagine that? The humbug in the city. All these people, these holy people that people respected are now walking around the city. It just must have been a remarkable time to be alive in Jerusalem. There is so much mystery surrounding this event, but whatever the correct details are, however it happened, Jesus has changed the game. He has changed the game like Sonny Bill revolutionized the game of rugby. Jesus has revolutionized all of creation. He's changed it. And like de Villiers didn't like the offload, thought it was rubbish, the religious people and the powers didn't like it either. Their own kingdoms and systems of control are being messed with. The holy people are raised because Jesus has died. They belong to God in their earthly life, and they are raised because of their faith, not based on their efforts, but by the grace of God. So as I've got a picture of here of new creation, we have to remember for us too, as we are resurrected with Christ, as we are, for those who are in Christ, we are resurrected beings. Our games have changed, haven't they? We no longer live in sin and darkness, but we live in the light of what Jesus has done. We have to remember that because Jesus died, we too have died, but we are also raised to life. The resurrected holy people remind us too that we are resurrected. We're no longer dead. Resurrection isn't just a spiritual thing, it is a physical thing too. Jesus displayed that when he had a kai with his disciples on the edge of the lake, didn't he? Here's a resurrected Jesus in a new body having fish and bread for breakfast. Michael Green, a great theologian, says this: the life and death of Jesus removed the curtain that has kept us alienated from God, ignorant of what he is like and unfit to enter his presence. The rending of the tombs is a powerful symbolism for the victory over death which Jesus achieved. Because of his passion, the tomb has lost its terror and finality. Because he lives, we shall live also. So if you look at those people on the right there, the people appearing in the holy city, they're kind of floating on the ground. I don't think the people who appeared in the city, I don't think they were floating, they were walking around as resurrected beings. Like the holy people raised to life, who waited for a few days, responded to the movement of Jesus and moved into the city. We too are resurrected. We await with hopeful expectation, respond to the call and mission of Jesus, and move about a broken world with a message of reconciliation. We, like these resurrected people, we go out into the world, resurrected beings, with a message of new hope. Not telling the world that it's everything is going to whatever. If that's your only message, get a new one. Because the message we should have is that we have resurrection power, resurrection life in us, and everyone is welcomed into the resurrection life of Christ. Doesn't matter where you've come from, everyone's game has changed. We move from death to life, and we share the message with the world around us. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says this: we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become, in him, we might become the righteousness of God. Let's stand. As we worship, continue to worship, let's be reminded that we are resurrected. We're no longer dead. Because of what Jesus has done, what he's been through, we have the life of Christ in us. You are no longer a slave to sin, but you are now a slave to righteousness. You are a new creation. Say to the person next to you, you are a new creation. Yeah. Say to the person next to you, say to the person next to you, you are no longer dead, but you are made alive in Christ. This is good news. It's good news for us, and it's good news for a world that needs to know this story, that death is no longer the winner. Jesus is the winner, and we win with Jesus. Yeah? So if you are at all happy about being a resurrected being, why don't you open your hands before God and give your thanks to Him? Open your heart, open your whole life to God. Say, thank you, God, for what you have done. Thank you for the resurrection life we have. We are no longer dead, but we are alive because of what you've achieved, Jesus. Like the holy people that appeared in the city, we appear to our world with a great message. And I just want you to know, if you are here this morning and you need to know a bit of resurrection life this morning, if you need to be reminded of who you are in Christ, love to pray for you. Come, if you feel compelled, come forward and we'll pray for you. If you haven't known Jesus, if you are kind of coming to terms with who He is and you feel this call, you feel this tug in your heart, I want you to respond and come forward and make a commitment of living in Christ. If you have the courage this morning, there's no compulsion, there's no bullying this morning, but if you feel the pull, we're going to stand and pray with you. But anyone that wants prayer, wants to be renewed in the resurrection life in Christ, we want to pray by the power of the Spirit that you will get it this morning and go out into the world with the message of new hope. So we're going to continue worshiping, but come forth to pray for prayer if you want resurrection hope restored in your life.